bless your name, God. God, we just magnify you. We lift you up, Father. Just as that song so prophetically sang, God, you truly are our all in all. And God, now that our hearts have been tilled, there is a word that you want to drop in our spirits. So God, we speak that as the word falls and it lands on the good ground of your people, that it's not just going to be that we had a good Sunday, we had a good woman's day, but it is going to be a word that will just grow throughout the weekend. It will produce fruit through the month, God, and then it will turn into a year, God. And next thing we know, we are operating in all levels of fruit of the Spirit, God, because there's a promise that your word will not return void. So we put a demand on it right now, God. We are not here to play games. Enemy, we rebuke you right now in the name of Jesus. We plead the blood of Jesus from this pulpit to the door. We mean business today. And if there is anything that would hinder this word from coming forth, we let you know you're null and void. You have no way here. We rebuke you in the name of Jesus. God, we just thank you that you right now are loosing the shackles of our minds and our hearts. They are dropping to the left and dropping to the right. And the weight that so easily beset us coming in here today, we are letting it go, God, for the next hour to be able to hear a word from you. God, we recognize change is a choice. So everyone under the sound of my voice is making a conscious choice this morning to do different, to be different, to be better, to be the people that you've called us to be before the foundations of the earth. Have your way today, Father, and we will be sure to give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory in Jesus' name. Do you think you could put a lot of praise on it? Even if you don't believe it, can you fake it till you make it? Oh, bless God, bless God, bless God. Hallelujah. 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 You can be seated. I am so glad to be here with you on your Women's Day. What an amazing, amazing time to celebrate womanhood and everything that it means. Amen. Dr. Frederick Thompson and First Lady Rosa Claire, I just want to thank you for the opportunity to come. It is such an honor and a blessing to see such an amazing man of God, such a sweet and kind spirit, but he looked like he don't play. Amen? And we need, you didn't think I could read that, right? But you need that in your life. Amen? Somebody that's not playing games. I give honor to my pastors, Pastors John and Aisha Edmondson, who so graciously released me, amen, today, to come and minister the word to my friend. And I do not use that word lightly. I could probably count on one hand. But I have been in this woman's life for now, I guess, a year and a half or so. God so divinely connected us. And though we don't talk every day, how many of y'all know the ones that are real close to you, you may not talk to them every day. It's the ones that's in your face all the time you need to worry about. Oh, I'm not going to get started already. That's not what I'm here to do. But on very pivotal moments, do you ever just get that text that comes across your phone, or You just get that phone call that just encourages everything on the inside of you. And Pastor Shauna, this is my turn to honor you. I mean, what you have poured into my life through this divine connection has been absolutely amazing. And if you don't know, this woman is anointed. She is amazingly anointed. And I am tremendously grateful that God saw fit to connect us. So Word of Life Christian Center, I can't even go any further until I honor two more things. One would be the chocolate in my M&Ms. The fudge in my brownies. The chocolate chip cookie dough in my chocolate chip cookie dough ice cream. It is my man of God, Lord with a little L. It is the man that God so blessed me with. I call him Chocolate Thunder. That might be a little uncomfortable for you, so you can call him Elder Ron. I honor my man of God. And my beautiful, 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 beautiful children who roll with daddy and mommy while we handle kingdom business on a daily basis. And they do it so graciously without complaint. And I love you guys and so thankful for you. And last but definitely not least, because on top of all of that is my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I am very serious about my God. And I am so thankful to him. I am thankful to him because he actually gave a very specific, customized word for Word of Life Christian Center. He didn't come to play no games. And I kept saying, God, but it's Women's Day. And he said, I am sending you on assignment, daughter. And every day is Women's Day. They are made in my creation and likeness. I love them every day. Every day belongs to them. He said, but I have a very specific word. And I just, all I can say is God is very fond of y'all. Now, that might not mean very much to some of you, but there are some people that, you know. But he spoke specific words of how. Did y'all see the shack? That's where I got that from, so that's my new thing. Right? Everybody needs to see that movie. And they keep saying, God is very fond of you. And I took that personal. A real God is fond of me? And he is very fond of this church. And as I was seeking him about today, I had gone on a conference in Colorado. And while I was in the air, the Spirit of the Lord very sweetly dropped into my spirit. He said, Word of Life Christian Center may have the tightest two women, and they are women of excellence, and there are great men there. But he says, I want to let you know that they possess the anointing of the daughters of Zelophehad. So I said, God, I know I have gone past those chapters, Numbers 27. I've read verses 1 through 5, and I recognize that it was pretty amazing, but you're going to have to, I haven't really studied. How many of y'all have y'all studied everything in the Bible? Okay, I can see we're going to need to do this, so I need everybody to do like this. Just do it. Trust me, it ain't nothing crazy. Do like this. Bring it to your face. Grab it. Put it down in the seat next to you. And say, I am officially demasked. We're going to be able to keep it real today and be transparent and honest. And if you can't do it with your neighbor, at least do it within yourself. I have haven't studied everything in the Word of God. I've worked really, really hard to study as much as I can. And I thank God that he continue gives me revelation on a daily basis. But it's something that you have to continually do. But just out of curiosity, without any bondage, so I know how far I got to go, how many of y'all know about the daughters of Zelophehad? Can I see? Okay. Anybody on this side? No shame, no shame. I didn't know. I'm being honest with you. I've been preaching 20 years. I didn't know. Okay. He said, you're going to go by there and you're going to let them know that they possess this anointing. You're going to tell them what it is. And then you're going to let them know the reason they need it. See, people want the anointing, but what baffles me is you don't need the anointing if you're not going to do anything. My husband always says the anointing, the simple definition of it is putting his super on your natural. So why would God take the time to put his super on your natural if you're not doing anything? Oh, I know it's tight. I know it's tight. But it's the truth. But this is the good news that everybody needs to know, is that God has an expectation and expected in for your life to go out there and do something. There is great purpose that lies in each and every one of us that God wants to just bring on out of you. So I'm going to discipline myself, and I am really going to teach this word to you because he said, claim your inheritance. If you are a note taker, this will be a good time for you to pull out your notepad and your pen, because we're going to teach this thing. And it says, and if you want the title, it is Claim Your Inheritance. And we're going to start the wonderful young woman. I don't know where she went, but she read all those difficult names. Thank you so much. I know that's difficult. So I appreciate you reading Numbers 27, 1 through 5. So I want to get right into it because we have a lot of ground to cover. There are some significant keys to claiming your inheritance. And I'm going to interweave the scripture that you read this morning and go a couple places. So you may want to take some notes. And if you don't mind, I'm going to give you a little homework assignment. I want you to go home and ask yourself, what was the sermon about? Oh, I see him writing. Come on, God. What was the sermon about? How does it apply to me? Now, notice I said, not how does it apply to my husband? How does it apply to my children? How does it apply to my neighbor? How does it apply to me? And what must I do to change? There are significant keys to claiming your inheritance, and it starts by understanding exactly who Zelophehad was. We do understand by Numbers chapter 27 that he had these daughters, and there was an anointing on their life that is very much part of Word of Life Christian Center. And it's so interesting because Zelophehad was born at an amazing time. He was actually born at the time of transition, where there was a time when they were in Egypt and they were in bondage and the Israelites were miserable. Somebody say miserable. They actually sought God and said, deliver us, deliver us, deliver us. I wonder if there's a few people in the room that need deliverance. And they sought God and they prayed and they asked God. They said, God, we need deliverance from the people. And he says, I'm going to deliver you. I'm going to send you a deliverer. And he did. And Zelophehad was alive at that time. And he had the opportunity to go through the Exodus. He had the opportunity to see God split the Red Sea and do great miracles and swallow up the Egyptians with water and get to the other side and produce even more miracles. He saw God in action. What an amazing time to live in. And then they began their sojourn or their journey, and Zelophehad was with them. And while he was with them on their journey, it was long. See, there wasn't this great master plan of direction, because God wanted them to follow by faith. I know there are so many plans in the room, so many things that you think should go a certain way. There's so many right now under my voice, you just don't even know where God is in your situation. And for Zelophehad and the rest of the Israelites, they began to feel that way. See, because what was going to be a 40-year journey really only needed to be about 11 days. But the wilderness experience is dictated by the choices that they made while they were on their way. And it is so amazing to me how we sit back and we judge the Israelites and say, what's wrong with them? How could it have possibly been an 11-day journey and it took them 40 years? Look it up on the internet. They bash them, all kinds of stuff. But can I tell y'all something? Elder Michelle felt no judgment. I didn't dare open my mouth. As a matter of fact, I felt compassion. Different perspective. Because when I look at my life and everything that goes on with me, I'm wondering how long my journey really is in. Oh, y'all don't want, I thought we put, I took our masks off. Journey from deliverance and bondage to the promised land. I wonder with me personally how long my journey is really. I'm wondering how long is it really taking me to get to the promises of God for my life? How dare I sit back and judge the Israelites? And I can only imagine being Zelophehad, and the journey is taking longer than intended. And because he knows that there is an actual plan and that there really is a promised land, because that's what God said, he says, it is taking a lot longer than I anticipated. I am getting a little older in age. I know that at some point they're going to get there, but there is lacking something and somebody to pass on my inheritance. Y'all don't mind if I take my time and tell this story, do you? So he found a wife, which quite oddly, Elder, it's not mentioned in the Bible. She's not mentioned anywhere. I'm not offended by that, though. And he says, we are going to get together because we need to produce a seed that can gain the inheritance. And there was an expectation. Somebody say expectation of Zelophehad that he would have a son. Because sons are the ones, according to the ordinances of the Israelite camp, that they can pass on an inheritance to. See, ladies, it's Women's Day, and you are pretty liberated, though you complain a lot. There was a time where you were seen and not heard. The men in the back like, There was a time that your job description stayed inside that tent and cooking and cleaning, bearing down them babies, and you better have a boy. Because if you didn't have a boy, he gonna go get a handmaid or somebody else to have the boy. Oh, y'all don't want to be real up in here. Zelophehad had an expectation that at any moment God was going to birth this son. And I can only imagine Zelophehad when the first one came out. They didn't have ultrasound, so it was a guessing game until D-Day. And he named her Mala. And if you look up her name, it says she's sick and weak. So not only did he not have a boy, but the firstborn girl is sick and weak. Oh, we got to move. So then he turns around and he says, but that's okay, that's okay. Don't worry, don't worry. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to do this again. Come here, woman. And here comes Noah. And though you would very much want Noah to be a boy, he's not. And their definition is rest from movement. See, because they had been journeying a long time. And what we don't realize is a lot of the murmuring and the complaining and all the things that were going on is because they were tired. And what they expected and what they thought wasn't really what it was, and they didn't know how to handle that. I wonder how many of us are in the room that have these expectations, and it doesn't look quite like what you thought it was going to be. So his second one he named Rest from Movement. And it kind of dictates and gives us a little inkling into what Zelophehad's thoughts were. And then he turned around and he had Hogla, which personally is my favorite. And if you look up her name, are y'all ready? You ready? It's a partridge. A partridge sits on eggs that they did not lay. And they gather young into them that was not their own. Hogla was very concerned about other people and their business and making sure they are well taken care of. And so that's what he named the third daughter. And then I know at that point, Zelophehad wished that he had something that my husband actually had. And what my husband actually had was God came to him after the three girls were here. And he said, there is a promised son. I notice y'all saying amen, but you ain't lay down and have twins. So when he came to me and said, there's a promise, son, I said, there's a promise, what? But Zelophehad didn't have that, so he tried again, and he had Milcah, who had leadership all over her. She was queen and council, and then he tried one more time, and there popped out Tirzah, the one that is just the youngest, and she's beautiful, and she's delightful, spoken to be light in a very dark world. And I can only imagine Zelophehad sitting down at the family dinner and all of his brothers looking at him and saying, what you gonna do? I can only imagine the pressure of the society and the culture dictating to him that his name will not go on, that there will be no inheritance that he lays claim to because he didn't have a son. But the first key I want to tell you about is something that Zelophehad did in the moment of distress, in the moment of disappointment, in the moment that he felt like God had forsaken him. He turned around and said, yet I will father them. And the key to claiming your inheritance is you have to understand the fatherhood factor. You say, Elder, how you get all out of them first five chapters? That's nothing but God. But what I want to tell you is God wanted a message for the men and the males in the room on Women's Day. By definition, fatherhood has three responsibilities. They are to lead, they are to cover, and they are to disciple. And fatherhood is not predicated on you having a child. There are many fathers out there that are childless. They have a duty and they have a responsibility that God has placed on them to lead, to cover, and to disciple. That is the awesome responsibility of your pastor that does this for this entire congregation. There are many of you under the sound of my voice. Listen, let's not play games. 71% of African American homes are fatherless. 32% of Hispanic homes are fatherless. 22% of Caucasian and other homes are fatherless. And you may wonder why that has happened or why that's the case. But if you take time to study and understand that the Bible says that if you want to get to the spoils, you bind the strong man. That is why we have to pray for our men of God, and we got to gird them up, and we have to encourage them, not tear them down. Women, we have an awesome responsibility to even pray for the ones that left. Pray for the ones that you're waiting to come. Pray for your man of God. Because if you think the attack on your life is significant, he is the head. If he gets to you, he gets to all of you. You have to pray for him and encourage him and encourage First Lady and pray for them and not talk about them and judge their own wilderness. The claim, your inheritance, you have to understand the fatherhood factor. Number two, you have to pay the cost. Salvation is free. But the anointing, it's going to cost you. You have to be willing to pay the cost. And I think about Zelophehad, and as he began to pour into his daughters, despite all the noise of why are you doing that? Like, why are you teaching the girls to read? And why are you spending so much time teaching them on the word of God? And why are you showing them who they are? And why are you giving them false hope of what they could be? And they're just women. And if you don't birth a boy, they're going to be homeless. And he said, but no, you know, come here, Mala. Listen, God is a healer. And I know it's been rough, but God will heal your body. Mala, God has purpose for you, so you can't possibly be sick, because how will you fulfill the purpose that God has given you? And come on, Hagla, come to Daddy. Let Daddy tell you who you are, that God loves you and he gives you such a compassionate care for others because there's something that he's called you to do. And listen, come here, Terza. I know you're the youngest, but you are light in a dark land. God is speaking to you, because even if you don't have a father represented in your life, he is the father to the fatherless. So he's saying, come on, baby, let me tell you, there's something I have for you to do. I know things been rough. I know it's not easy, but I'm going to keep you. Zelophehad began to speak into his young women. And if you are 18 and under or so, can you just stand up and don't fake it? You know, y'all to think you 18, not y'all, the real ones. That's you, baby in the back with the pretty dress. That's you. All right, y'all can be seated. I just wanted to make sure y'all was paying attention. Because what I want to tell you is the girls that I'm talking about, they were not yet 15. Because at age 14 and 15, you were to be married. And when you study it out, and when they go to Moses, they're not married. So they're very young. Why am I saying that? Because millennials are trying to be labeled about what they are and what they're not. They are saying they are spoiled, that they are lazy, that they want everything catered to them. They are speaking bad things about who the millennials, this next generation coming up, are. And I want to let you know, the devil is a liar. That's not what God named you. And don't you ever let anybody pigeonhole you into thinking that you're something that you're not. God has a great expectation of what you're going to do in this very wicked earth. And he's going to use you just like these young ladies. But I wanted y'all to know their name, so as I'm going forward, you can know, yo, they my age. The third key to claiming your inheritance is that you have to position yourself to pursue purpose. And my husband and I had the most amazing conversation last night. He didn't know what I was preaching, but the conversation laid in this vein of pursuing purpose. See, the greatest tragedy of life is not death. It is living this life without purpose. That's Dr. Miles Monroe, mighty man of God. There are many people that just live this life, go from day to the next. That's not what Word of Life Christian Center is called to do. They have an anointing to pursue purpose. Because God wants you to be able to claim your inheritance. And it is amazing to me, the people that say the purpose is so evasive, they don't know how to get to it. They don't know what it looks like. And let me share something with you. Purpose probably lies to what you're the angriest and maddest about. What problems have you identified that keep you murmuring and complaining? I know. It's easier to murmur and complain and take no action. But what I'm challenging you to do today is not do that. Recognize your murmuring and complaining, and then turn around and ask yourself, so what are we going to do about that? Because I have a feeling that God is trying to get you to pursue purpose. Then your gifts and your talents will line up with that. And then you will be able to do amazing things here in the earth. See, because what was amazing with Zelophehad and his daughters, they lived through a time where there was tons and tons and tons and tons of murmuring and complaining. And I think why God is leaning into that so much, Word of Life Christian Center, is because if you flip back to Numbers about 16, what you're going to find is there was a group of people that were led by a gentleman named Korah. And it wasn't just your average folk, Pastor. It was 250 of the top leaders and dignitaries. And Korah was upset because he didn't like the way the journey was going. And he was upset with Moses and Eleazar and a few of the other leaders, which, listen, I'm going to tell y'all a secret. Let's just act like pastor's not here. Pastors are not perfect. Oh, they're afraid. Oh, hey. I thought we took our masks off today. I'll tell this side. Pastors are not perfect. They are men of God, just like you are a woman of God. And they are living their lives to the best of their ability to please God. So, Korah didn't believe what I just said. So they kept on murmuring. They kept on complaining. They went after the leader. And if you don't believe me, you can go back and read it. And the reason I'm telling this story is because it has everything to do with the anointing on the girls' lives. The Word of God teaches us that while they were standing there murmuring and complaining and shouting, that the ground parted, swallowed all of them. Them, the wives, the children. And then it closed back up over top of them. So I began to think about that thing. And I said, so all of the girls' friends, oh, they don't get it. That whole next generation that was watching the older generation and what they were doing and how they were behaving, they witnessed their friends get swallowed up by the earth for being rebellious. And I believe that those girls made it up in their mind that no matter what happens, they're going to follow God and follow his God-given authority. Now, I am a true equal opportunity employer. We follow men and women of God as long as they follow Christ. And as long as they are not in sin, and we are called in purpose to be a part of that local body, and we are tied to them, there is an anointing that will flow down from the head, rest in our lives, and we will claim our inheritance. We have to pursue purpose. I'm almost done. Y'all all right? Then you have to turn around. And the key number four is perpetuate your own growth. And what I mean by that is grow intentionally. When I took the twins to the doctors for their well visit, and they began to measure, don't laugh at them, Jasmine. They began to measure, you know, their height. They're so afraid they have my genes. Because when I take the 4 1/2s off, I'm about a good 4'11". Their precious father is at least 5'8". And it's evident that Jasmine has inherited that gene. But when the doctor gave the twins their, they just looked at me like, really, Mom? Really? This is how tall we're going to be? There is a time in the physical that you stop growing, is my point. But spiritual growth is a choice, and it must be intentional. Promotion comes from growth, and growth is measured by your actions. And I can just imagine these young ladies. Because again, in the midst of all of this, they're still paying the cost for the anointing that is going to be on their lives. And something awful happened. Their father died. They don't speak of her mother, so I only assume she wasn't around. So now they're wandering in the wilderness. They've lost the only one that believed in them. They are surely destined to be homeless. And I can just imagine the five of them in their tent like, they gonna make me marry Tim and he's ugly. They're 14, so I just assume that's what that conversation would look like. Hagla, you'll probably get Mike and he picks his boogers. Hers is the only lucky one because probably she'll get to live with one of us until she's old enough. I could just imagine the conversation. And then I can imagine Milcah, the leader, the queen, saying, this ain't right. Why? why, just because we're girls, should we be homeless and forced to marry a man and live in a tent? I don't like to wash dishes. Maybe I ain't ready to make babies. Maybe I want to start my own business. I can just imagine Milka bringing her sisters around her and saying, remember when daddy said this, and remember when daddy said that, and I hear that in the spirit. Some of y'all got to remember what daddy said about you, and I'm talking about God the Father. You got to turn around and remember what thus saith the Lord said about you, and stop letting the enemy lie to you on a daily basis and telling you who you are. He's a liar from the pit of hell, and it has nothing to do with who you are or what you're called to be. I can just imagine the girls coming together. And as they began to talk, they began to come up with a plan. And I could just imagine Milka saying, yo, we're going to take it down. We're going to go to the tent. We're going to tell Moses. We're going to tell Eleazar. We're going to let them know this ain't right. You can't do this. Oh, we're going to protest. We're going to get our picket signs. We're going to march on Washington. Isn't that in the climate we're in now? Everybody marching. Don't get mad, activists in the room. Ain't nothing wrong with marching. But there is a way of doing things if you're going to do it God's way. The things they didn't do, they didn't pout around and demand their changes. They didn't agitate others together to support their cause. They didn't try to change it by becoming haughty and thinking they smarter than everybody else around them. They didn't make it happen by showing up with guns and taking it by force. All of that didn't happen. But this is what they did do. They recognized that there was a problem and nurtured their righteous desire. They understood that there was room for improvement in their cultural practices that were not in harmony with what they learned about God. They were clear that receiving a spiritual inheritance was not going to come from man, but come from God himself. They were disciplined and skilled enough to respect spiritual authority and spoke truth to power. That showed that they were growing, intentionally. They had a plan, and they understood that though it was not going to be easy, God was with them. God has a plan, and it is not relegated by your age. It is dictated by the call on your life. And there is something amazing that God wants to do with you. It was purposed before the foundations of the earth. And the reason things seem so hard and you feel like you're caught in the middle and there's a press and you feel like you'd want to do this, but you can't do that, is because God has a call on your life. He is strategically setting you up for some really mighty things. Terza, that would be you. Key number five is truly my favorite. Because when the girls went to the tent, now this is the amazing thing about the girls going to the tent. I can only imagine being Moses and Eleazar and the other men at the tent of meetings. That's where they stayed. And they are actually is the tabernacle. So it's very similar to this church right here. And the amazing thing about it is women didn't just stroll up to the tent of meetings. So I can imagine all five girls coming out their tent, walking shoulder to shoulder. Their knees were probably shaking. Their heart was probably beating out of their chest. And I could just imagine all of their uncles, because, you know, their uncles are like, what is wrong with these girls? You know, they're probably looking like, where are they going? Somebody stop them. Women don't do that. And I could just imagine Moses seeing them coming from afar off. And inside his humble and loving heart, he knew God was about to do something, because he watched them begin to approach the tent, something that had never happened before. Somebody say, claim my inheritance. You're going to have to do it afraid. You're going to have to do it afraid. There are things that God has been ministering into your belly as these wonderful men and women of God have been ministering into your spirit, as your pastor has been teaching you. There are things that God tried to raise up in your belly and you didn't allow it because you were afraid. Afraid you would be laughed at. Afraid you weren't gifted or good enough. Afraid you didn't have the resources. Afraid of rejection. These are all things that those five girls felt. And they had to be bold enough to approach the tent of meetings. And they began to speak. And they said, listen, our dad, first they gave the testimony of their father. Don't y'all love that? They gave the testimony of their father. Men, that's why I'm talking to you. That's because it's Women's Day and I couldn't leave you out. I couldn't leave you out because you're too important. It is what their father poured into them that gave them the boldness and the courage to step out. You have wives, you have children, and let me be clear. A wife is a helpmeet. When she's coming to you, she is coming with 50% of the voice of God. She is delivering into your spirit what God had given her. She deserves the attention and the listening ear, just as Moses gave to the girls. Her points are valid and they are important. When your young women, children come to you and they're speaking to you, the reason they're coming to you is because you're fatherhood. And they are looking for a divine word that you're going to depart into their spirit. So that when you're not around and Johnny is trying to climb on top of them, and this one may be a little tight for the men in the room, but if you know a young lady that it doesn't have a father, you better pray, is that your assignment? Because 72% for is just way too high. 32% is just way too high. 22% is just way too high. Fathers, you are necessary in this earth. But ladies, God always has a backup plan. And if there's not one that's going to step up, God will father you like no other. You get on your knees and you talk to him just like a real father is sitting right there. You say, God, I'm lonely. God, I'm tired. God, I don't know what to do next, God. Give me direction, Father, and I promise you, he will answer. So the girls went, and they stood before Moses, and they said, listen, my father, he was a good man. He didn't follow those ratchets with Korah. He didn't get swallowed up by the earth with the rest of them. He died of natural causes, of his own sin. But we're still here. And we don't want to be homeless. It's not right just because I'm a woman that I can't carry on my father's name. It's not right that I can't claim his inheritance. Give me his inheritance with the rest of his brothers. And I could just imagine that Moses was speechless. I think it's only 5 words. I will inquire of the Lord. I mean, he was a preacher, right? He was Moses. He didn't pull out the Bible and say, well, you know, women ought to be silent in the church. You know. He ain't had no choice. Because God was dealing with him. You have to trust and believe that God is always dealing with your man of God. That he is dealing with him. And you go with the expectation that though you're talking to a man of God, you're talking to the God of the man. And if it's ever a doubt, flip your scriptures over and know that the word of God says, hey, 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 I hold the heart of the king. There are times that I have to go to my man of God and I have to, a few things that I need to say. God has been dealing with me, man of God. And this is what he said to me. And I know this doesn't go by what you said or what you thought. But I really thought it was really important that I give this to you. And I'm asking you, man of God, to take that thing and go back and seek the Lord on my behalf. There is a way that you go about things in honoring the authority that God has put into place. It is key to claiming your inheritance. The fifth key, I love it. Prepare for a double portion. You have to prepare for God to do exceedingly, abundantly, and above all, that we can ask and or think. And those girls did that. And Moses went back and he sought the Lord. And God said, those my girls. Salafahan, you did that. The girls done went down there and told them right. They changed the ordinances. They changed the law. They changed the culture. And let me tell you, the amazing part about that is when Moses died off and they went to Joseph, now they had swagger. Joshua. They had swagger. They said, Joshua, I hope you and Moses had a conversation. Right? God said that we are to inherit the land. And Joshua said to them, not only are you going to inherit the land, but your father was the first of the sons. So you get 2 portions, 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 10 portions for each of you, double for your trouble. I wonder how many of y'all up in here are ready to receive double for your trouble. They enriched the wealth and the tribe of Manasseh. They doubled it. Women. My time is up. I just wonder, Word of Life Christian Center, are you guys ready? Are you ready for that national, that international? I know local bodies go through. Listen, I've been full-time ministry 20 years. There is nothing anybody can say around here that would surprise me. I am very clear about church. If I don't know nothing else, I know me some church. But let me tell you something. There is still the God of the church. And I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it smells like. I don't care what it feels like. God had a plan. Y'all read your purpose statement, right? Did I hear y'all read your purpose statement? Did I hear you read your purpose statement? God has a plan. He gave it to Pastor and First Lady because they were brave enough and bold enough to step out in it. And then he said, because they wrote it down and they made it plain, I'm going to send some warriors along to assist them. We are no longer in a time and a culture for you to be punks. And it's not up to them. It is a conscious choice that you make every day. The word of God says, claim your inheritance. As you pursue your purpose, it will line up with this word. This ministry will go national. Then it will go international because everybody is on the same page. Where there is unity, there is a commanded blessing. And that anointing will flow from the head all the way down to the body. I know this wasn't a shouting word. Y'all probably could tell I could probably shout a little bit. But it was a teaching word. And I was on assignment. And I pray that you receive it. And that you will go do your homework. What was the sermon about? How does it apply to me? And what must I do to change? Can I do the call of salvation? Bow your heads. There are some under the sound of my voice.